produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today. Washington Supreme Court says only in-state doctors can recommend marijuana. The Washington State Supreme Court, in a 6-3 ruling last week, upheld the conviction of a medical marijuana patient for possession and manufacture because her doctors were located in California and Oregon. Washington's medical marijuana law, I-692, was passed in 1998 as a ballot initiative with 59% of the vote. The law grants doctors the right to recommend but not prescribe marijuana for people suffering from cancer, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, glaucoma, and other conditions that cause, quote, intractable pain, close quote. Writing for the majority in the ruling, Justice Tom Chambers stated, quote, the initiative could have but did not define a qualifying doctor as one with a valid license from any state, close quote. The case surrounds the 2003 arrest of Sharon Tracy, age 53, for marijuana possession and manufacture. She was found with about 1 ounce of marijuana and 4 marijuana plants. According to court records, Tracy suffers from a hip deformity and migraine headaches and has had corrective surgery following a ruptured colon and other bowel conditions. Tracy had originally obtained a California medical marijuana card, which she had at the time of her arrest. Following her arrest, she obtained a recommendation from an Oregon doctor. The Washington Supreme Court also rejected a constitution-based defense for Tracy, in part because she failed to produce a copy of her California medical marijuana card in the appellate case. This was because that card is still presumably in the possession of the local police who originally arrested her. The court stated, quote, it appears that the card was never returned to her after police seized it at the time of the original search. Close quote. Washington's medical marijuana law allows patients to utilize a, quote, compassionate use defense, close quote. This defense was denied by the original county trial judge, who found that Tracy was not a qualified patient under the law because the medical marijuana card in her possession at the time of her arrest was not issued by a doctor who was formally licensed to practice medicine in Washington State. The state Supreme Court agreed, but Justice Jim Johnson, in writing his dissent, implied that the majority opinion in the case ignores the intent of Washington's voters. Quote, the majority offers no persuasive rationale for holding that the people of Washington understood, let alone intended, that an otherwise qualified patient would be excluded from protection by I-692 simply because the patient's treating physician was licensed in California or Oregon rather than Washington, close quote. Marijuana remains illegal to purchase or sell in Washington. Possession of marijuana is allowed under I-692, but state law does not clarify or offer a regulated system for how people obtain marijuana for their medical use. This results in seriously ill, even dying patients being arrested, prosecuted, and convicted for their choice in medicine. Stay tuned to the Audio Stash this week. We'll have follow-up interviews about this Washington State Supreme Court ruling. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit NORML.org. Today on the Audio Stash, we'll have part two of the wonderful panel presented at the Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference recently in Washington, D.C., featuring Ryan Grimm of Slate.com, along with noted American journalists Bill Press and Clarence Page. We also have some music and comedy from the website that is God's gift to podcasters, podshow.com. First today, let's get to the SSDP panel audio. We'll hear Slate.com's Ryan Grimm, Bill Press of the Bill Press Radio Show, and Clarence Page from the Chicago Tribune talk about why prohibition issues aren't covered more aggressively by mainstream media. In our portion of the panel today, the three take questions from the students at the conference, and the three give some great tips for how local organizers can get more media coverage for their issues or events. First, we'll hear Bill Press from the Bill Press Radio Show.
Painlessly. So fiscal responsibility is a good word. And I think decriminalization is a better word. I talk about legalization, and I don't know. I can tell you how many friends of mine would say, you really mean decriminalization, don't right. you? Well, if that's what I've got to say to get where I want to go, I'll say it.
So, no, by the way,
words are important. Language is important.
Yeah. By the way, Bill Raspberry on the decriminalization of cocaine issue raised a point that we haven't really broken through on the discussion, and that is, you know, what would legalization look like? In other words, what would be the impact on the streets? Impact on our daily lives? I feel pretty sanguine about legalizing marijuana be about like legalizing alcohol after the end of prohibition. You know, legalizing cocaine, I think it's where people start to get a little more squeamish. This is why I thought The Wire was gutsy to present a scenario that showed life in Baltimore overall would improve, and would also improve for those people right there in Hamsterdam because they got needle exchange, et cetera, they didn't get otherwise. But, you know, the discussion hasn't really advanced to that point yet. But you take it, you know, one step at a time. I think American people are moving in that direction. Sometimes too slowly, but
I finally found my note on the Zogby thing. It was 46% of Americans in this John Zogby poll. He's the best pollster in the country, by the way. I think the most accurate. Came out in support of letting states regulate. Mm-hmm. So states' rights is another important phrase that conservatives supposedly believe in, except when states do things that conservatives in Washington don't like.
Like when the Supreme Court overturned California's medicinal marijuana laws right. on what I thought was incredibly intrusive.
Say again?
Okay, here we go.
You're right.
Thank you. Right. There you go. Thank you for keeping me linguistically correct. That's why I never made it in television.
But given the pathology of the press that you talked about earlier, and just the complex mess that is the mainstream media, what advice would the two of you have to drug policy reformers about how to get through to that, how to get to the individual reporters and push their side of the story? Because reporters can be gotten to.
Yeah.
They're regular people.
No, we're very accessible. I mean, Tom Angel called me, emailed me. You know, I guess I got emails from him before I met him. But you know, keep your eyes out. I love to hear your response to this. Now you're one of us. I always advise people. You know, if you want to know how to reach the media, for Pete's sake, read us, look at us, listen to us. You know, when you see or hear a story that you like or don't like, respond. Somebody who's reporting or commenting on an area that you're interested in, then, you know, hook up with that person, especially if they appear to have an open ear to this issue. Well, you know, something like medicinal marijuana, a very important issue across the country, and as well as the other, methamphetamines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Drugs are an issue across the country, this whole issue too about banning federal student loans to kids or adults with drug arrest records and this sort of thing. I'd say who's that the congressman in Indiana? Now, help me here. Thank you, Sauter. I remember talking to him about this, you know, back when I said, isn't this kind of counterproductive to go and get in the way of the ability of people to get an education when they're in the process of say, rehabilitating themselves after a conviction? And he said, well, yes, we kind of overshot a little on that one. And he later, after an agonizingly long time, introduced legislation to that would not penalize people for those past offenses, but still it penalizes students for current offenses in a counterproductive way. But, you know, this is trying to – here was a case where I, as a journalist, am frustrated that we don't have more power in the media. Because, you know, when you see something you think is an obvious atrocity and you report it and then nothing happens, it's very frustrating. But that's one of those cases as far as that law is concerned. I think Congress is very pleased with themselves now after one run through with an amendment, and they just don't want to go near it again. So, you know, he's got to kind of keep the pressure on. But anyway, no, I think, you know, we are accessible and go toward when you see a journalist that is friendly to your cause or say giving a fair voice, then approach that person just like you approach those who are giving the opposing view.
Yeah, I'd have to say we have to recognize that we're dealing with a very uptight, a very Victorian society. We're just not going to go overnight from the United States the way we are today to Amsterdam. It's going to have to come one sensible step at a time, I think. For example, the medical marijuana was absolutely an essential program, and I think one that was fairly easy to sell from a compassionate and moral point of view. The legislation that you're supporting now to get rid of the penalties against students who are found to have used some drugs on campus or pot on campus, losing their student loans or being thrown out of school for the time, that's, to me, a very sensible piece of legislation. You can get bipartisan support for it. You can get the university administrators and parents involved as well. That's a very sensible step. It's all steps in the right direction. But in terms of how to reach to them, we live in a fishbowl. I'm on the radio 3 hours a day across the country, and it's syndicated in many individual cities across the country. And I get emails, calls from thousands of people, it seems, a day, and emails as well. You can reach us. You've got to reach out. And so I'm sure that SSDP does this as an organization in your individual chapters. I think you have to do it as well. You've got to reach out and inform and educate. Don't believe these people know the issues. They don't know the issues. They're just like, again, the elected leaders. You can't take for granted that they understand your issues. You've got to make the effort to reach out to them, inform them, and educate them, and that's for individual reporters and to editorial boards. Go down, sit down with them, make your case, let them know who you are, let them know how to reach you so that when the issues come up in the news, they can get to you and get some sensible spokesperson for their reporters or for their radio or their television show. And I come back to what I said earlier. You know, it's if you want somebody to be effective on radio or television, my suggestion is don't get somebody I know that looks like he or she just walked out of the hate in the 1970s with the love beads or the tie-dye T-shirt or whatever. Try to get a school principal. Try to get a pastor. Try to get a Republican, a conservative, to make that point of view, because they expect the Democrats and the liberals to be there, but surprise them by showing how broad the support you have for your issue.
To answer my own question, even though I am fully sympathetic with the cause of drug policy reform, I still, you know, I can't devote 100% of my time as a reporter to that. Even not probably not more than say almost 5%. So people that do want me to write about drug policy still have to pitch me. And Tom Angel does all the SSDP's Tom Angel does all the things pretty well that a spokesperson should do, or anybody in the local chapters. He's persistent. he'll send a couple of follow-up emails because a lot of reporters' press releases go right into the junk mailbox. I don't know if that's from, I mean, because there's so many.
You know how many we get every day?
Yeah, right.
Give us a break. Nothing more depressing. At least in the old days, you got it on paper. At least we're saving trees now. The pile isn't as big, but I get about, I mean, and I'm nobody, and I get about 150 emails a day, and about a third of them, maybe 20% is readers, and the rest is emails or press releases. Just to let you all know, some of them are Viagra ads.
And I often feel bad for the organization that sent the press release, because I know that they probably labored over the language in this press release.
Absolutely.
They met over it. They fought over it. And then they blast it out, and nobody reads it. And what works so much better is a phone call to somebody that you have read before. Like you said, you're familiar with their work. And you can even say, did you get the press release? I think I got it. Sure. What was in it? And then start talking to them and say, well, I'll send you something more personal afterwards. The other thing that reporters really want is they want to be the first person or only person to be reporting something. And so if they see a press release, that's a signal that it's gone to everybody else in the media. And so everyone figures, well, somebody else will probably write this. So, you know, why am I going to waste my time? So if you have actually a good local story, better idea is to go directly to one reporter and tell them, I haven't given this to anybody else. This is something I'm giving exclusively to you if you're interested. And I think that type of personal interaction will really really benefits the cause.
Any questions here, do you think?
You were talking about the media's resistance to taking this issue seriously. If we were hypothetically to engage in local policy action with legislation, aside from the way you described earlier of getting someone unexpected to come out and support your cause, what's the best way or what are some ways to get the local media to regard it as a serious issue?
The one thing you need is a victim. Editors will also say, find me a Vic. You know, and without a Vic, then you don't have a story. So if you can find somebody who has been denied federal aid, so somebody who's, you know, had to drop out of school because they had to pay $5,000 for an attorney for a pot possession charge, something like that.
Although there was a case this past year that I recall. I was disappointed that we didn't get more coverage. But I need your help here on the college students. There was a class action case, I believe.
Right. I sent you an email about that. You
didn't hear
about it.
Yeah, that's right. But we did do an editorial, didn't we?
Yeah, but it wasn't that good.
Hey, you know, we take these victories in inches if we can't get miles, you know. At least we got it in, though. No, I've been rather gratified that my old newspaper that used to think they were progressive because they were against slavery has moved more and more toward the pro-legalization end as far as, well pro-medicinal marijuana, outright saying telling Congress, no, for God's sake, no. Take your hands off the states. At least let them do it. No, use that federal experiment of the states to see how well this can work or not work, whatever, you know. Like I say, we in all seriousness, we do take these victories in inches if we can't win miles. But I was very disappointed that story didn't get more coverage, because I think and maybe it's because there aren't enough editors whose kids have been denied federal aid or scholarship money because of some drug conviction.
So we can take one or two more. We're kind of running over time here.
We're going to take some questions from students. Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you, panelists, for being here. I have a question regarding our strategies for... I'm over here. Hi, everybody. I guess I should stand up. As far as pitching stories and trying to get our message out there to reporters, how should we change our strategies regarding pitching radio, TV, print, blog, and also local versus regional versus national?
Wow.
Well, local versus national depends on the issue that you're dealing with. I imagine you're talking local, your local chapter, right? I mean, the national organization sort of is responsible for the national media, those of us who are based here in Washington. I think it's relative. I have to say it's just about the same. You're dealing with individuals in each case. Try to find, in case of a television station, the reporter who's most likely to have an interest or to have that story, be assigned that story, who's done drug policy related stories in the past. So that's his or her beat. The same way with radio. Also, go to your radio talk show host are really, really, really powerful, in terms of influencing public opinion. And I'd reach out to them, try to meet with them, reach out to your local papers, try to meet with the editorial boards, explain the issue, and then reach out to the individual reporters. Also, sometimes the TV stations or radio stations also have editorial boards, if they still do editorials in support of some issues. And some stations do and some don't. So I think the same strategy applies across the board. The difference is that for radio and television, you need somebody who is kind of good, right, at going on the microphone and explaining your issue, not just sitting down around a table with a group of editors, and figure out who that best person is, and put him or her out there everywhere you can.
It's oftentimes a lot easier to get local coverage because people tend to relate to local issues with greater passion. 60 Minutes, on the other hand, national, one of the most watched TV shows, they must get a zillion emails and press releases a day, and piles of letters, lengthy letters from prison inmates, just like I do. And again, I'm nobody, it's remarkable. There's all these potential stories that just don't get covered because you just don't get to them or whatever. So it can be like fishing, you know, you throw it out there and hope it's going to snag the attention of reporters or producers.
Yeah. And one other thing to keep in mind is that your television, your radio stations, and the newspapers, they've got a lot to fill. I mean, like cable television, you got 24 hours to fill. Talk radio, I got 3 hours to fill every day. We are all looking for good stories, looking for good issues to talk about. So, you're in effect doing people a favor by coming to them with a good local issue that really impacts people, that can really make a difference. So don't feel you're a pain in the ass. I mean, you're coming to them with something important, and if you got a good story, they'll be grateful for it.
That was Slate.com's Ryan Grimm, Bill Press of the Bill Press Radio Show, and Clarence Page from the Chicago Tribune, speaking at the Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference in Washington, D.C. More information about SSDP is available on their website, ssdp.org. Next up today, we have some music and comedy from podshow.com. First, we have some reggae from Joss Esco in this tune, War is Not the Answer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, war is not the answer. Politician and them, war is not the answer. I'm looking over the solution, Rasta says, yeah. War is not the answer. We said the politician and them start drop them bomb, yeah. War is not the answer. I'm looking over the solution, Rasta says, yeah. War is not the answer. No, no, no. Rastafari, see how them dropping bombs every day, yeah. Killing out your all the children in this world, I say. Your politician and them say, them don't want the kids to have a future. Me see nobody kids, them a grow up without a mama and a papa. War is not the answer. I struck me low by the solution, Rasta said, yeah. War is not the answer. Me tell the politician and them stop drop them bomb, yeah. War is not the answer. I shot them over the solution, Rasta says, yeah. War is not the answer. No, no, no. No, yeah. Politician boy, yo, you better wise up in this time.
Wise up in this time, yeah.
Cause I know that you think say everything is so fine,
but if it's not
fine, yo. But Rastafari, yo, he's always panda
that righteous line, yeah, yeah, yeah. To lose the Rastafari always in time. The politician, yo, he go burn you this time. The war is not the answer. The war is over the solution, Rasta says, yeah. War is not the answer. When your politician boy, stop drop your bum, yeah. The war is not the answer. I said, kill over the solution, Bobo says, yeah. The war is not the answer. No. Children in this world, I said, the politician and them say, they don't want the kids, we have a future. We say nobody kids, them a grow up without a mama and a papa. War is not the answer. I should give over the solution, Rasta said. War is not the answer. Tell the politician and them stop drop them bomb, yeah. War is not the answer.
Hey, yeah. Mama Naya said this. Not the answer. War, which is not the answer. I love you, Neil. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, yeah.
That was John Sesko with War is Not the Answer, found up at podshow.com. And we'll round out our stash of audio today with some comedy from Smart Bomb Radio and this brilliant parody of a classic tale. We played it about 8 weeks ago here on the audio stash, but it's just too damn funny to play just once. This is Smart Bomb Radio's Jerry Bruckheimer's The Sneeches.
In a world gone wrong, one man and his very peculiar machine will change the destiny of a nation.
Dad, I'm going to the Frankfurter Roast.
No, you're not! No son of mine will hang out with filthy starbellies. Not today, not ever!
What would you sacrifice to change your stars?
We're still the best sneeches, and they're the worst.
If you don't hack that motherboard firewall in 3 minutes, game over, man.
Don't pressure me!
Then the big machine roared. And it clonked, and it bonked, and it jerked, and it perked, and it popped them about. But the thing is, it really worked.
This is more than a star on this belly. The star stands for our freedom.
He's working for good!
He's working for himself! I don't know about that, McBean.
From Michael Bay and Jerry Bruckheimer, the creative forces behind Pride and Prejudice 2, The Death of Darcy, and Care Bears, a mushroom cloud over Care-a-Lot.
Sir, the team is on the ground. They'll engage within 15 minutes.
The Starbellies! They're coming!
My work is 100% guaranteed.
Guarantee this, motherfucker.
Jerry Bruckheimer presents The Sneeches.
This film has been rated PG for parentally, schmentally, gamentally violence.
That was Smart Bomb Radio there, found up at podshow.com. We have links to them on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned to the Audio Stash this week for interviews regarding the Washington State Supreme Court ruling. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.